Would you go with me, please, this morning to John, the 14th chapter. John 14. If you didn't bring a Bible with you, hold up your hand. We have extra Bibles. Be glad to let you use one of ours. John 14. We've been on this topic for some weeks now. We're calling it the words of Jesus. And we are looking at His words with great reverence and intent upon receiving and doing them. And here is one of the big reasons why we're doing this. John 14, 21. John 14, 21, Jesus said, "He that has my commandments and keeps them, he it is that loves me." So not just somebody that says they love the Lord, but somebody that has and keeps His words. "He that loves me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him." I've been excited about this verse for years, but it just grows in me. You know, we're to walk by faith. Our life down here is to be a faith walk and a faith life. And that means you believe when you don't see. Right? And you don't clamor and say, "I have to see before I'm going to believe." Or, "I have to see and I'm not going to believe." No, we believe even if we see nothing and feel nothing. We've chosen to, you know, there's no such thing. Sometimes you hear people say, "Well, I just can't believe that." That's not true. That's an untrue statement. No such thing as somebody that can't believe something. You choose not to. It's a choice. You choose to. And so we should be willing to believe, seeing nothing, hearing nothing, feeling nothing of evidence, just what he said, and say, "Okay, it's true." But that doesn't mean, if you're a faith person, that you're never to have any manifestations. We do walk by faith, but we are to have manifestations of the Lord in our lives here and now, while we walk in the flesh down here. Are you excited at all about the Lord manifesting Himself? The Amplified put that up again for us. The Amplified version of that, amplifying the word manifest. He says, "I will show, reveal, manifest myself to Him. I will let myself be clearly seen by Him and make myself real to Him." Do you want to see the Lord more clearly? Do you want Him to be more real to you?
Yes.
If you know Him at all, and you've tasted of the Lord's goodness, then I know that you don't have to think about that answer. Yes, you're hungry. You want to know more. You want to see more. You want to experience more of Him. And so many times, people, all they've done is just beg for it. "Please, God, I want to know You. Please, I want to see You. Please, I want to know You." He didn't say He had revealed Himself to those that begged the hardest.
Amen.
Religion has preached that and taught that and left that impression, but it's not Bible. And it's why so many people have begged for years, and God's not any more real to them now than He was 20 years ago. God never told us to beg. Not anywhere. Are you with me, friends?
Yes.
Begging is religious tradition of men. Men's religion makes men beggars. Have you noticed it? I mean, we're singing this morning. Did you notice there was some anointing on that song, "We Adore You"? Notice how it compares with begging songs. Compare the two. There's a whole lot of songs around, "I need You, I'm desperate for You, I've got to have You." Are you with me? There's not anointing. It's just soulical. And I understand where people have come from, because in my past I've done plenty of begging. That's how I know some of these things. I want you to say it out loud. There's no future, in begging God. Let me ask you a question. How many in here got children? You want your kids to beg you? Huh? Get out and grovel. Beg. Please, mama, please. Please, daddy, please. Oh, please. You say, oh, you ain't doing good enough. Beg, boy, beg. Come on, put your heart into it. That ain't begging. Does that please you? Do you want them to do that? Why would we think our Father God wants us to do that? Why would we think it? Religion has taught us these lies. It's the enemy. And it's come through pulpits of churches. No, let's talk about the Bible. The Bible said, Hebrews 4:16, let us therefore come boldly. That ain't begging. Boldly before the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. What do you say? Come right on up here, boy. Come on. Lift up your head. He's the glory and lifter of your head. Come on up here. I know Brother Kenneth Hagin, who's in heaven now, my father in the faith, said he had an experience of the Lord where he saw him and was caught up. And he said that he saw the Father, the form of Him, not His face, but the form of Him on the throne. He saw the winged creatures. He said, strange looking creatures. He said they had eyes all the way around their head. They look in every direction at once. And they say, holy, holy, holy. He said he saw the rainbow behind the throne. He said, beautiful beyond description. He couldn't find words to it. And he saw some of these things. And he said, some things had happened and transpired, and for once, he looked at the Master. He hadn't just really looked at Him. And he looked at Him. He said, when he did, he was just overwhelmed. He said, the Master's eyes were His most noticeable feature. And he said he couldn't describe it any better than to say they looked like wells of living love. He said, looked like you could see a mile deep into them. Just living love. And he said when he looked at Him, he was just overwhelmed, and he fell on his face, and he fell, and he put his hands on the Master's feet and said, oh Lord, no one as unworthy as I should look on Your face. And you'd feel that way. Every one of us would feel that way. But this is the part I wanted to mention to you. He said the Lord said to him, stand up. Stand up on your feet. And, of course, you know, when the Master speaks to you like that, you don't think about arguing. He said he got up. He got up and he stood there trembling. And he said the Lord looked at him and said, I have made you worthy. Oh, my. We're not worthy for anything we've ever done or could do, but He has made us worthy. Glory to God. By His own blood, He's made us worthy to look upon His face. Does He want us to grovel and beg? No more than you want your kids to grovel and beg. If they've made a mistake, do you want them to grovel around and hide in front of you and act? No. You want to forgive and forget about it. Let's go on. Yes. The reason you're that way is because He's that way. And you picked up that from Him. Oh, thanks be unto God. Thanks be unto God. He loves us. And it is His will to reveal Himself, to manifest Himself to us. We've been looking at Jesus' words because we've seen it's not groveling and begging that's going to get Him to reveal Himself more to us, but it's us hearing, respecting, receiving, remembering, keeping, and doing what He said. So we've gone through these words. I mean, you know, all of these words in this book are His words, and all of them are precious and important, but we didn't think we could do a Genesis to Revelation study at one fell swoop. We're doing a study of John, and of course, at the rate we're moving, it could still take a while. But do you know anything better to spend your time on than the words of the Master? So go again to John 5. John 5. Can you tell that we've come up spiritually? We've come up. You know, some things happen gradually and you don't really notice. It's like a kid growing. You know, they're with theirself every day. And so if Grandma hadn't seen them in a few months and she said, "Boy, you've grown so..." They don't think so. They don't realize it. You know, it's the same way spiritually. Some things happen gradually. You're at a different place, but you don't realize it. But compared to where you were, and the Lord's got much further to bring us up. And this is part of it. We looked in John 5, and we saw how that this man was healed at the pool of Bethesda. And we saw a lot of precious and important things about that. And down in the chapter here, verse 15, the man left and he told the Jews it was Jesus that made him whole. And it's still Jesus that makes you whole. And so the Jews, they persecuted Jesus. And they sought to slay him because he had done these things on the Sabbath day. You know that's hypocritical. You know they were impressed by this man being healed. How could you not be? Right? Man's been 38 years in this incapacitated state. And he's walking around whole and strong. There ain't nobody on the planet. He's not going to be impressed with that. Right? But they ignore it on purpose. And all they want to talk about is he did it on the wrong day. Oh, I can't do that on the Sabbath day. That's wrong. You know, not to say they ever had a healing day. If you'd ask them, okay, what day do we come for healing? They never had any healing meetings. But there'll always be plenty of experts that even though they've never done it and ain't got a clue how to do it, they want to tell you how you can't do it. I've had people try to tell me, you know, about speaking in tongues. How you can't do this and you can't do that. And they don't speak with tongues. You know? That's like, you know, telling somebody how to fly the plane and they've never flown a plane. How to scuba dive, never even been wet. You say, "Well, I read a book." Well, whoop-de-doo. If somebody's actually been there and done it, you need to be quiet and listen. Right? A man with an experience is never at the expense of a man with an argument. Let me say that again for you. A man, a woman, a person with an experience is never at the expense of a person with an argument. And how many of you found out you can read all about it, but when you start doing it, you learn some stuff. You learn some stuff they didn't put in the book. I'm talking about the manuals, you know. And you learned some stuff you didn't pay attention that was in the book. It's different when you do it. And so be watchful about judging people. Don't do it. Judges are not doers. Anytime you're looking at somebody and, you know, I've worked on myself to train myself. I do this daily. Daily. If I think about something or see something in anybody else's life that I think they're wrong or they shouldn't have done, I make myself do this. Did you hear me?
Yes.
Now you have to purpose to do it. If I find myself thinking or talking about what they should have done differently or what they didn't do right, immediately I check myself, what have I done on this? And if you'll do that every time on a regular basis, man, it'll keep you straight. It'll wake you up. You'll go, "Whoa, I need to shut my mouth. I mean, what have I done? I've never even been in that situation." How can I stand here and talk about what I do? I mean, don't talk. You've never been there. Right? Anybody can talk. Make yourself come right here. Isn't that what the scripture said? Judge yourself and you won't be judged. What if you judge others? You will be judged. With exactly what you're judging them, it's going to come back on you. Well, if we really believe that, we'd shut up. Wouldn't we? If we really believe that, well, it's true whether you believe it or not. It's true. So they judged Jesus. They're persecuting Jesus. And he made it worse. Verse 17, he said, well, my Father is working and I'm working. Boy, that made them madder. Oh, they said, therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him. Now they really want to kill him. Because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but he said God was his Father, making himself equal with God. They thought, how dare he? Did you know this is one of the statements that grates the devil the most? Is when you and I say, Father, thank you that I'm your very own child. I'm your very own son. And you're my very... I'm telling you, that torments hell. Why? Because friend, we are not angels. We are beings created in the God class. I know we're weak and feeble and ignorant in so many ways, but that we're just getting started. You check us out 1,000 years from now. I mean, we are super young right now. So, well, I'm not. I'm 80 years old. You are a baby. Amen. You are. There's an outward man. It's aging. But the inward man is renewed day by day. This is the first thing we've ever done. And it's the shortest thing we'll ever do. Amen. What? This human life. This natural life. We're doing our earth tour. It's true. Our earth tour of duty. You know, we get to play some and rest some here. But this is really not playtime. This is really not rest time. And watch about it. So-called retirees. Watch. Well, I'm retired. You don't retire from the things of God. Amen. Till the trumpet sounds or you breathe your last. We'll work till Jesus comes. Right? Didn't he say, occupy till I come? Then you best get occupied and occupy till he comes. Don't tell us about this. I'm retired. So you don't retire from God. You don't retire from the things of God. You're supposed to be working. Everybody is supposed to be busy, occupied, doing something to advance the kingdom, to help the gospel get out, to help the brothers and sisters. Everybody. I know a lot of people are doing nothing, but it didn't change the fact that's what we're supposed to be doing. And we are made in God's image and likeness and class. And friends, when we say Father, just like Jesus, you see how mad it made the devil? When he said, my Father's working. Jesus ain't trying to draw attention to himself. He's not being proud or boastful. He's just stating the fact. My Father's working and I'm working. And oh, it made them mad. Oh, it made them mad. They were mad, but now they're really mad. They want to kill him. They're so mad they want to kill him. Why? Because he ministered healing to a man and said God was his Father. What a criminal. Think about it. That was his crime. That's why they're so mad they want to kill him. And who's the maddest? The church going folks. Now this is a preview in my and your future. If we go all the way with God. Now if we live a little nominal carnal life, then you won't be bothered by this. But nor will you be bothered by the great miracles. and signs and wonders. But if we go all the way with God, there's going to be people that don't like it. Just like these people didn't like it. And they'll think, oh, that Faith Life Church. Oh, that bunch. They have weird things happen. Oh, man, it's spooky over there. Man, they talk about angels and demons and, ooh, talking about ghosts. Holy Ghost. And they think they're something. They're just sashaying around. I'm the righteousness of God. God's my Father. Father, Father. And they're all talking about they hear from God and they see God and they, oh, they're off the deep end. Friends, we need to be hearing stuff like that or we're not like Him. Right? Are we going to be like Him or not? If we're going to be like Him, then people will get upset. Didn't He say, if they received me, they'll receive you? If they hated me, didn't He say it? They'll hate you. Well, they hated Him. They wanted to kill Him. Why? Because He walked over there to that pool by the leading of the Spirit, and He ministered by the word of knowledge and the word of faith. And this man with 38 years rose up and stood up amazingly. I mean, he didn't just recover in a moment of time. He got up and walked away. Everybody knew this is a miracle. This is supernatural. Everybody knew. Then he said, God's my Father, and He showed me this. Oh, man, it made the church leaders so mad they want to kill Him on the spot. Somebody say, me next.
Yes.
Will you line up for this?
Yes.
Huh? Do you want to see things like this?
Yes.
Do you want to know things like this?
Yes.
Well, you got to get ready. It comes with persecution. I know this was, this was 25 plus years ago. I was in the floor of our little house. I remember it distinctly, praying. I'd been praying, asking God for revelation of His Word. Because I saw that was part of my course. And I said, God, you know, I got to have the revelation of Your Word. And I'd been praying and seeking Him about it and seeking Him about it and seeking. And He spoke to me. I remember it was about 2 in the morning. I was in the nose in the carpet in the living room of our little house. He said, I'm going to give it to you. He said, but you'll be persecuted for it. I thought, And it's come to pass just like that. We've had a revelation. People have been healed. We've been persecuted for preaching healing and miracles. We've had prosperity. We've had financial miracles. We've really been persecuted for preaching that. But you know, we're not going to stop. And how many believe there's more truth to see and know? And are we willing to take the flak? Are we willing to take the persecution to see the results and to get the glory to the Lord? Yes. Yes. Small price. Those kind of sufferings are not even worthy to be compared, the Bible said, with the glory that shall be revealed. Oh, they're so mad. They said he said God was his Father. Say it out loud, just for good measure. God.
This
is my Father.
And I'm His child.
Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Father.
Hallelujah. I am in His family. I am His son. Glory to God. This needs to be more real to us. He said, for the Father loves the Son and shows Him all things that Himself doeth, and He will show Him. Somebody say, show Him. See, now this keeps coming up. The Father loves the Son and shows Him all things that Himself does, and He will show Him greater works than these that you may marvel. Glory to God. Now, Jesus said in verse 19, the Son can do nothing of Himself but what He sees the Father do. And if you've read the gospel account of John, You'll see this will come up again. As we study these chapters, it'll come up again and again. I don't mean two or three times. Again and again, he'll say, I am not seeking my own will, but the will of the one who sent me. I came down from heaven not to do my will, but the will of him that sent me. I can of my own self do nothing. I only say what I hear, and I only do what I see him do. And I only say what I hear him say. Have you read this? Am I telling it right? Over and over and over and over. Why is he seeing these things and hearing these things? The Bible said the Father is showing him. Could you say he's manifesting himself to him? Isn't that what we're talking about? Isn't that what we're on? Didn't the Lord tell us that he would show himself to us? This is how it's going to happen. Exactly like it happened with the Master. How did Jesus see these things? He's telling us, he walked over to that pool where that man was of 38 years, and he said those words to him. Why? Not just because he saw the man over there and thought, well, he needs to be healed. Are y'all with me now? All those other people in those five porches needed to be healed too. Right? Why did he walk over to this man? Why did he say those things to that man? We don't have to wonder about it. Jesus told us he did it because he saw his Father do it. And because he heard his Father say it. So he just went and did what he saw the Father do. And he just went and said what he heard the Father say. Oh, glory to God. So the Father manifested himself to Jesus in the showing and the saying. And then when Jesus said it and did it, the Father manifested himself in the healing and miracle of the man. And so Jesus and others round about him, they are seeing him, and he's being revealed to them, and he's being made real to them. That's what we're talking about in this series. That's what God has us on. And why would he have us on it? His heart is so big, his power is so great, he yearns to manifest himself in our midst, to us, and for us, and through us. We must forget about what we can do and what we want to do. We must become like the Master. I didn't come to say what I want to say. I didn't come to do what I want to do. Not my will. It's easier to say that than to do it. Because you got a will. Oh yeah. And it can be contrary to the Lord's will. And that's where submission comes in. There's times when you don't want to do it, but you got to grab yourself and say, forget that, submit, not my will. Yours be done. And even though you don't want to do it, you can get glad by faith about it. Right? It's just an act of your will. You can say, Lord, I delight to do your will. I don't care how I feel. I choose to. Because you're right. And if we will keep his words and do them, he's already told us he will manifest himself. He will make himself real to us. He's preparing us for this even now. It's already begun. It's already been happening in a measure. But how many know he would take it up to a greater measure? A much higher level. All these healing testimonies Phyllis read today. Isn't that God revealing himself to us? He's a healer. Isn't he? He's a miracle worker. I didn't do it. You didn't do it. He did it. He's revealing himself to us. Well, everything we've seen him do in the Bible was him revealing himself to us. And he's the same today. Everything you ever saw him do, he still wills to do. Right? Didn't Jesus say, if you believe on me, the things that I do, you'll do also. And greater things than these. Greater works than these shall you do. Because I go to the Father. That's why we stand up every time and say, greater things than these. We'll see. Are we expecting?
Yes.
Well, the Lord has taken us by the hand. We've just been here 7 years, but He's taken us by the hand and He's leading us every step of the way to get us to the place where He can fully reveal Himself to us.
Yes.
It's not His fault that He hadn't been able to fully reveal Himself to us. It's been our carnality. It's been our ignorance. Some of it's been, you know, our forefathers were taught junk and lies in their churches. And generations of it has come down to us. But God has mercy on us. And no, we don't pretend to know that much or to have arrived at all. But how many believe God is taking the junk out of us and He's putting the truth into us and our faith is coming alive and coming up. And what used to be obscure and foreign to us is becoming real to us. Oh, hallelujah. And we're drawing nigh to Him, and He told us He would respond and He would draw nigh to us. I'm so excited about the words of Jesus. The same one that said, "Light be," and it was. He said, "You do this and I will reveal Myself to you." Oh, I'm standing on that word. I'm hanging on that word. I'm holding to that word. Somebody said out loud, "He will reveal Himself to me." He will. He said He would. If I would do this, He said He would. And I purposed in my heart, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. Now, look at this. Skip down just a few verses. We'll touch on this. How's He going to do it? We see the how part of it. Verse 37, skip on down there. Well, let me kind of build up to it. Verse 30, Jesus had said, "I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge." Verse 32, He said, "There's another that bears witness of me." He's talking about John. And then verse 36, He said, "I have a greater witness than that of John. For the works which the Father has given me to finish, the same works that I do bear witness of me that the Father has sent me. And the Father Himself, which has sent me, has borne witness of me. You have neither heard His voice at any time, nor seen His shape." Do you believe in the Father God? Do you believe He is real?
Yes.
Not a figment of someone's imagination, not fantasy, not mythology. He's just as real as that chair you're sitting on and more. He's real. Jesus said to these guys, He said, "You haven't seen Him and you haven't heard Him." But was He real to the Master? Oh, He was completely real to the Master, every day and every night. He heard from Him. He saw things from Him. He fellowshipped with Him. You notice nearly every time I say, "The Lord said this or that to me," I feel like I have to stop and try to explain it. Have you noticed that? I say, "Well, I don't mean I heard in a audible voice," but how many times have you heard me say that? You know why? Because there are masses of people that come to the church, even many of them. And when you say, "The Lord said this or that," they immediately balk and go, "He thinks he's hearing from God." No, I don't think I'm hearing from God. He thinks God talked to him. No, I don't think God talked to me. Every child of God should be hearing from God. Every child of God should be seeing things from Him and hearing things from Him. It should be the way we live. It is the spiritual life. But see, so many millions of Christians and churchgoers, they don't live a spiritual life. They live a carnal life. Just a natural life. They believe in the spiritual. But only later. You know what I mean by that? Oh, they believe I'm going to die and then I'm going to be aware of the Spirit. And I'm going to go to be with Jesus and I'm going to see the angels who are spirits and I'm going to see God. No, listen. Spirit is real now. And here. There are human spirits in this room. There are angelic spirits in this room. There are wrong spirits that try to get in here and lie to people and do stuff. They have a tough time around here though. And God's Holy Spirit is here. And we're not just mind and body. We're spirits. Somebody say spirits. God is a spirit, the Bible said, and He seeks those that will worship Him in spirit and in truth. And He's called the Father of spirits. Now, since God is a spirit, as He reveals Himself to us, we're going to have revealed to us the spiritual. How's God going to speak to us? Spiritually. How's He going to show us things? Spiritually. We must become spiritual people. Or elsewise, we'll never walk into things we're talking about. As God going to reveal? I mean, you know, Judas, not Judas Iscariot, had said, Lord, how are you going to reveal yourself to us and not to the world? Well, if He revealed Himself in the natural, everybody would see and know it. So how must He be going to reveal Himself to us? Spiritually. Now that doesn't mean there won't be any manifestations in the natural. But the seeing and hearing of Him is going to be spiritual. He does it on purpose. I mean, if God spoke out of heaven with a booming voice, it'd shake the planet. I mean, how many other churches would fill right up? Right? And I mean, you know, people would stop teaching on atheism and agnosticism. I mean, things would change. How many of God could speak out of heaven and give this earth a rattle and go, hey, I'm real. And I tell you what, there wouldn't be anybody in any nation, any tongue, any kindred on the planet that didn't believe. You say, why don't He do that? He doesn't want to. He's chosen not to. He specifically doesn't do it on purpose. Why? Because then people would just be walking by what they saw. They wouldn't be qualified. Everybody now is doing their earth tour. And it's being decided who believes on Him and who doesn't. If you'll believe on Him when you don't see, you're not going to have a problem when you do see Him. Right? Woo! Glory to God. If He can count on you when you don't see Him in the natural and you don't hear Him, the rest of it's going to be pie, brother. As God reveals Himself to us, it will be spiritually. And you've heard me talk about this more than once, but I'm telling you, I don't believe it's just me. I believe the Lord's leading us this way. We're going to begin to see more manifestations of spiritual things. And you got to get your mind prepared for it. Some things will be different than we've thought at all. Right? We can't fall off our chair if an angel shows up. Did you hear me? Let me say, you mean a real angel? Here? Yeah. We can't go berserk. God shows us things and does things that there is no natural explanation for. It's supernatural. That is, you know, what we're hollering about, going, He's revealing Himself to us. That's what we're talking about. Yeah. This is it. He's going to say things to us. It's going to be real. He's going to show us things. It'll be real. Now, don't misunderstand me. We're not just going to go, oh, hallelujah, it's God. Everybody that says it's an angel, everybody that has a vision. No, God's given us more sense than that. We're going to check it out. Maybe it is spiritual, but is it God? Maybe it is an angel or a vision. Maybe they really did have a vision or a dream. That doesn't make it God. I don't care how real it is, doesn't make it God. There are other spirits besides God's spirit and angelic spirits. And we said two big ways to test it is what? Do you remember? Two big ways to test if it's really God. Does it honor Jesus? Honor Him. Which is to say, does it honor the Word? He is the Word. Now, that's different from honoring an angel, making too much out of somebody, or honoring a devil. Mrs. Honoring the devil. People do it all the time. They talk about, oh, the devil wants you to talk about demons. Have you got just a minute, friend? The devil wants you to talk, you and me, to become obsessed with the spiritual if it produces fear. And it's sad that the bulk of Christians, the concept they have of the devil, they got from Hollywood. When they think demon, they think monster. And, ooh, you mean the devil? You mean, people don't even want to talk about it. They're like, ooh, no, don't talk about that. Because they think, you know, some kind of horror show that they saw years ago or in recent times of some absolute dragon, monster, huge, hideous, powerful, crushing evil. This is not true. This is not reality. Brother Hagin talked about, you know, being able to work with him in the ministry. Numerous times the Lord let him see in the spirit. And he saw demons. And nearly every time he said they were little, imp-looking, monkey-looking creatures. And he said when he would tell them to stop and leave in the name of Jesus, it'd scare them. He said on one occasion, he said, a lot of times if they did respond, they'd say, I don't want to go. But if you tell me I have to go, I know I have to go, but I don't want to go. This ain't no monster. The devil wants you to think they're giant, huge. He wants you to be scared. He wants you to leave this alone. And be scared. You know, all the movies, like what? The Exorcist. All that kind of stuff. Lies, 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 lies. Let me tell you about the devil. The devil was created. He didn't create himself. It's a created being in the angel class. Beautiful. Had a place in the presence of God. Iniquity was found in him. Nobody tempted him. He came up with it. And rebelled against God. And he's been kicked out. He is a fallen angel. He is not some kind of equal, evil opposite to God. He's a fallen, created being. And God's only letting him rip around for a little while. I mean, his doom is sealed. The Bible said that some of the angels left their first estate. And they are kept in darkness, in chains, right now. And soon and very soon, the devil's going to join them. The whole bunch of them are going to be removed from any contact with any of us forever. And I say, good riddance. Good riddance. I don't feel sorry for the devil. Nobody tempted him. What he's done, good riddance. And the Bible says in Isaiah 14, I believe it is, that in the day, talks about the Lucifer and what he said and what he did and how he's going to be brought down, and men will look at him and say, is this the one that made the earth to tremble? That shook the nations? Is this the one? Because his big deal is smoke and mirrors. It is. His big deal is deception. There was a time when he had even the power of death because of what man had did. But Jesus has come. And Jesus has triumphed over death, hell, and the grave. And the Bible said he has destroyed him that used to have. the power of death. He's been brought to naught. He's been put under our feet. Now, unbelievers, well, yeah, they're in a different category. It's a different story with them. But with you and me, I said with you and me, there is absolutely no reason for us to be afraid of the devil. He's afraid of us. Not our humanity, but the one who's inside us and the name that's been given us. Didn't the Bible say, resist the devil? And what would happen? And he'll rise up and growl and swallow you up. That's Hollywood, brother. That ain't the Bible. The Bible says he will. He will go. When you resist him. Why? He is a defeated, stripped, brought to naught, confused, in darkness being. And all his little imps that work with him and serve him are completely confused and defeated. Oh, now they'll kill and steal and destroy every chance they get. But friend, you and I need to find out who we are. I said we need to find out who we are. We need to rise up and act like men and women of God. We need to act like the Master. You think Jesus was afraid of demons? He ever act like he was afraid of any demons to you? Well, the way he walked, he told us we can walk. The same way, didn't he? And so, as we obey his words, as we lay other things aside, we need to become more spiritually minded, more God inside minded. If you feed your flesh on foolishness and falseness and junk, you're going to be fleshy. If you think about just fleshly, natural things all the time, the Bible said to be spiritually minded is death. Can we grow up?
Yes.
Can you pray in the Spirit?
Yes.
And be more aware of your spirit? Can you feed your spirit on good word of God? That's what we're doing in here today. Feeding our spirits. Worshiping God. Being in His presence. Does it help you?
Yes.
Do you wind up being more aware of God in an environment like this than when you're doing a bunch of junk?
Yes.
Well, you don't have to wait till next Sunday.
Amen.
You can do this at home in different degrees and measures. You can do it at work. You can do it everywhere. You can do it in the car. You can be spiritually minded. You can pray in the Spirit. You can focus on Him. And you, as you begin to do His words, He's going to reveal Himself to you. He's going to say things to you. He's going to show things to you. And if you'll go and say and do them, miracles will happen. Miracles will happen. And God will be making Himself real and revealing Himself to all of us and through all of us. Can you say glory to God? Stand on your feet, everybody. Come on now, guys. Oh, glory to God. We're going somewhere, brother. We're on our way. Oh, thank you, Master. Thank you, Master. Thank you, Master. Glory to God. Pray this out loud. Close your eyes and pray it out loud. Say, Father God, I believe in you. Though I've not seen you, I believe in you. You are spirit, but you are real. Thank you for telling us you would reveal yourself to us. Manifest yourself to us. Show us how to lay aside things that make us carnal. Things that hold us out of awareness of you. Give us wisdom, grace, strength. Work in us to will and to do of all your good pleasure. To seek you, to be spiritually minded, that you might show us, say to us, all that you would. We expect it. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God.